the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, goodness. So how's everybody doing today? Good, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That was a very sneaky thing my wife did to me. She hid that from me. I didn't have a clue. I don't think I've ever been so embarrassed in my life. I knew I was red all the way down. You know, wow. But anyway, praise the Lord. I'm so grateful for that, you know, that the Lord did. And I'm grateful for all of you. I'm grateful because the King is the one that changes our lives. But we are so grateful. So praise the Lord. It's good to have all of you today. And I guess we'll start out today with, I'll tell you just a little bit about our trip to Georgia. We were down there Wednesday through Saturday. And I guess we saw some of the worst afflicted people in this trip we have ever seen. So many of them. I thought, Lord, I know you're increasing our anointing and the miraculous is getting greater and greater every trip. But Lord, when am I going to start seeing those crippled little children? You know, one of them that really tore my heart out was a little tiny baby that was being raised by its great grandparents. You know, great grandparents. Little thing about this long. Had been born from a mother and daddy that had not walked with God, had been on drugs and everything else. This little thing was born nothing. I mean, it can't do nothing for itself. And then this little thing was laying somewhere in the floor or something in a house with a pit bull in the house, and the pit bull attacked the little thing, tore its neck up, tore its mouth up, bit all the way into it, and tore his gums and his teeth out. And you expect me to have faith to pray for that little thing and get that little thing healed? Yeah. That's where I want my faith to get. I said, Lord, I want to be able. I know it's not any harder for him, Esther, to heal that little thing than it was for him to heal you that day. You know, but it requires faith. And, you know, it takes a lot of faith, you know. And, you know, when you're, if you were able to get up this morning, and if you didn't praise the King this morning, you're a dummy. Is that right, Jack? If you could wake up this morning and you didn't have pain in your body, and you could raise that hand and you could go to the bathroom yourself, and if you could go get something to eat or drink, if you could do that and you can't praise the King, hey, get over it. Amen. You know, one of the young men that was born that they brought to the meeting, he could walk, but, you know, not very well, and he could barely talk, and I think he was 20 or whatever. I said, what happened to this little boy? I said, when he was 4 years old, he was perfectly normal, but his daddy got drunk one day and got him on a four-wheeler and was wheeling around with this little four-year-old drunk, and he dropped him and ran over him with a four-wheeler. Now he's all but a vegetable. He can move a little. He can talk a little. How would you like to have that on your head? This little guy's as happy as he can be. And I thought, God, when I look at that little guy, he comes in, he's happy. I thought, Lord, look at me. Look at me. I can walk. I can talk. I can eat. I can move. I can make my hands and arms do what I want them to do when I want them to do them. I said, God, I know you must bring these kind of people to bring me to a point in my life where I have to say, I praise you, Lord. You know, so many years of my life, I took this thing for granted. Yeah, didn't we all? I thought, wow. The children that we saw this trip were awesome. But we saw, we had one woman, they brought, we had a man, I guess the first or second day, that they brought him in and set him down on a couch at the front, and I went up to pray for him, and he was hurting so bad. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, I have cancer. He's in great pain. And so I told him, I said, sir, if you'll repent of your sins, I'll guarantee you the King of the universe will forgive you and heal you. And he said, after what I've heard you teach the last couple of days, I know that. He said, I believe with all my heart when you pray for me, he's going to heal me. And I just reached up and touched him. I said, in the name of Jesus. He said, my pain just left. That's how quick it happened. He got up and walked out on his own and came back the next day able to walk all by himself. I think, Lord, you are so awesome. And then they give me a phone number of a woman to call and said she can't come to the meeting. She's hurting so bad. But I wasn't moved to call her. So I didn't. And so the last day, they brought her to the meeting. Had to have two women holding her up. But they brought her. And she come and listened. And when they brought her up for prayer, she's on, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, where's your pain? It's a 12. You know, she is in severe pain. I mean, what do we not understand about sin and God sending tormenting spirits to us when we sin? I told her, I said, ma'am, if you'll get rid of that unforgiveness against your mother and you'll ask God to forgive you of all your sins, I said, then I can drive that devil out of you. And so she began to repent, praising God. I said, where's the pain the worst? She said, right here. So I laid my hand right there and I said, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her. And boy, she started coughing. I know what that is. The devil's coming out. So then as soon as she finally did stop coughing, I said, Cheryl, I think, asked her, how's the pain now? She said, it's down to about a 6. So we continued to rebuke the enemy, and then it's down to a 3. And then she was finally, after we finally got through praying with her, she was able to walk out on her own by herself with no pain. We saw so many wonderful healings and miracles. We saw God do so many wonderful things the last 2 weeks. It's just beyond my wildest dreams, you know, what we're seeing the King do. I got a feel, everywhere I go, there's a prophet or something comes up and says, God is fixing to increase and open the windows of heaven to your anointing. Amen. He's going to increase and you're going to see greater and greater miracles all the time. I said, well, Lord, I'm ready for this. Amen. You know, right, John? We're ready. You know, we want to see those little children healed. Amen. You know what? I would love to be able to do, and I know God can do it, and I don't know what I need. I mean, I prayed all the way home on that airplane. Cheryl slept, but I couldn't sleep. I'm thinking about the things that's going on in the world. I said, God, I got to know what's going on. You know, I got to know some of the things that's happening. You know, I want to know. I want to have more understanding. I want to know what I'm supposed to do in the future. You know, Lord, please reveal to me. And Lord, I want that anointing to increase. Lord, I want to be able to, for somebody to hand me a little child like that. And I want to be able to completely die to myself where there ain't none of me left. Amen. And I want you in your hands to take that little child, the Creator God. And I want to see, while that little child's laying in him hands, I want to see that little thing made completely whole. Amen. While I'm holding him in my hands. And I said, with you, that ain't no problem. But I said, Lord, I ain't never seen that yet, but I want to see it. Amen. I said, you've just whet my appetite on what I can see. I said, Lord, you've showed me hundreds of miracles and thousands of healings. But Lord, I've not stepped into that super, super miraculous yet, but I want to step into it. Amen. And then I want them to be able to bring to me these children like that little boy had been run over with his daddy when he was 4 years old. He's now 20 or whatever it was. I want to be able to lay hands on a boy like that and ask the Father in the name of Jesus to completely recreate that boy. Amen. And I want to see that boy that can't walk, that's having to raise his legs up like this, you know, to walk like this. I want to see that little boy that can't talk, his mouth is wide open. Ah, ah, ah. I want to see that little boy all of a sudden in front of me say, "Praise God, look at me." That's what I want to see. And I know the God we serve is well able to do it. It's just I haven't paid the price yet. But I'm going to get there. I don't know what I'm going to have to do, but I'm going to get there. You know, and I want y'all to pray with me and for me on a regular basis. I want you to petition God to use all of us, not just me. But I want him to petition, want you to petition him that he will protect us in the days ahead. Because as I've been telling you, I believe devastating things are coming in the future. And I don't think they're far away. You know, I don't want to be a person of scare tactics, but you know, when I begin to see these things, like Dr. Williams told us out there on GLC, and as we sent those DVDs out, thousands of them all over the country, this call, Timely Warnings, I am hearing everywhere I go more of these things from more people all the time. I don't know what's going to happen. I hope nothing happens. But all, like I told Dave this morning as we're sitting there talking, I says, America is way past judgment. We are a wicked place. The church that says they're the church. I mean, when you run into people and you say, "Are you a Christian?" "Yeah." "You go to church?" "No." "Ain't much of a Christian, are they, Tom?" "Not at all." Or whenever you get fired in your workplace for praying, we have a problem in a nation that's supposed to be serving God. It ought to be required that we pray in the workplace. In fact, I'm going to tell you, God required it of his church. He says, "Do all things in prayer with thanksgiving." That means at your workplace, you're not supposed to do nothing without prayer. And how many of us are disobedient? Isn't that something? We are disobedient. We don't obey the king. Just like Dave read all them Psalms up there a while ago. "Lord, I look at your law and your commands, and I love to keep them." Boy, we must not read it, but we sure don't know what it says. But anyway, today I want to talk about something. Cheryl made a statement this week after we looked at some of the things that happened. She made a statement to me the other evening when we got home after teaching the Word, seeing all these wonderful things happen, and this one get healed, and this one not get healed, and all the things. And she walked up to me and she said, "I don't understand God." I said, "Well, welcome to the crowd." I don't understand him either. And today we're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 6. We'll start with verse 1. And I want to show you something in here that the first time I read that, or many times after I've read that, I thought, you know, this would be a good place to teach today since Cheryl made that statement. I don't understand God. I thought, you know, from the day of the beginning of creation, we have not understood God. He don't do things the way you and me do things. He's totally different. But he tells us what he likes and what he don't like. In the NLT, we want to use the NLT. Yeah. I want to. 2 Samuel 6, verse 1. But I want to use the NLT all the way. I read it and studied it in all the translations, but this one I like the best. Verse 1, then David mobilized 30,000 special troops. That's a bunch of them, you know it. He's going to go get the ark. So he knows he has a precious cargo to go get. 30,000 special troops. That's a lot of folks, isn't it? You know, I mean, the town I was raised up in didn't have but 2,000 total people in the whole town. You know? The little town I live in Justin don't have but about that many. I mean, you know, I lived in Louisville for years, and I don't know if it ever got to 30,000. I think the Louisville Flower Mound area now is up to about 50 or 60,000 now. But this guy goes out and gets 30,000, not just troops, 30,000 special ones. These guys are well trained. He had a pretty good army, didn't he? David mobilized 30,000 special troops. He led them to Balak of Judah to bring home the Ark of God. Now, the Ark of God is a very, very special little thing. Very special. Everybody's looking for the Ark. They're still looking for the Ark. There's a lot of people say they know where it's at, but they're lying. They don't know where it is. Which bears the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubs. Next two verses. They placed the Ark of God on a new cart. You notice they didn't just go out and get an old one. They built a brand new one. You wouldn't dare want to put the Ark of the Covenant on an old, wore-out donkey cart that might have a wheel bearing go out before you got home with it. You want to build a special one, a brand new one, to carry this one on. They placed the Ark of God on a new cart, and they brought it from the hillside of Abinadab, Uzziah, and Ahio. Abinadab's sons were guiding the cart. With the Ark of God on it, with Ahio walking in front. In other words, he's out there in front. He's leading them. I mean, we got troops everywhere. Can you imagine 30,000 troops? No, you really can't. We read these little things, but they're just walking down a dirt road. They're having to cross the rivers and the valleys and everything else. But can you imagine the traffic jam if we were to take and right in the middle or right at the edge of 35 and headed up toward Oklahoma City, if we were to take a handful of men with an ark out there and 30,000 soldiers on both sides marching up and down, what a traffic jam we would create both ways? I mean, 30,000 troops is a bunch of guys. Ain't nobody going to mess with them, though, is there? You know, not unless you're pretty well supplied. Let's go to 5 and 6. David and all the people of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all their might, singing songs and playing all kinds of musical instruments, the lyres, the harps, the tambourines, the castanets, and the cymbals. You know, there's churches today that will not play even a keyboard in their service because they think they're offending God. When there's people say, you can't move your body when you serve God, you might think we're moving our hips a little too much. David was ripping off his clothes and praising God. You know, he says there, he was praising the Lord with all his might. He took off his coat and threw it out there in the congregation. Singing songs and playing all kinds of musical instruments. Don't you put a set of drums on this platform. You're a heathen. Don't you play up here in the stringed instruments. You're a heathen. You know there's people won't let you in their building if you've got a keyboard. They ain't reading the same book I'm reading. They're celebrating before the Lord with all their might. It might do some of them a little good if they were to do it God's way. Amen. When's the last time you got wild and violent and started jumping and praising God? When's the last time you had something good that really, you said, I can't stand this anymore. I got to praise God. You know, woo, let me dance a little bit before the Lord. You know, is that what he said? Let me tell you, if that's what it takes for me to see those kind of miracles, I'll dance and jump and vibrate before him all day long if that's what it takes. If that's what he loves, then I want to do what the king said. All kinds of musical instruments, lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. We think we're doing something wonderful. They're just violently praising God. It's been a long time since I've been in a church service where I saw that kind of worship. Some people would be offended if we had that kind of worship. Some people say, I can't go there with them. Well, that's okay. That's okay. Everybody's different. But when they arrived at the threshing floor of Nacon, the oxen stumbled. And Uzziah put out his hand to steady the ark of God. If you was walking beside the ark of God and the oxen stumbled and it started to fall, what would you do? But now this is where I don't understand God. Take the next verse, next couple of verses. Then the Lord's anger blazed out against Uzziah for doing this. Now that, you tell me, you understand God? God struck him dead beside the ark of God. They were worshiping and praising and dancing before the Lord, and the Lord was loving it. Then all of a sudden, they went across that little threshing floor, creek area there, and one of the oxen stumbled, and the cart kind of did this, and it run off in a little hole or something, and that ark started to, and that guy, he thought, well, I got to save the ark. And he reached up and touched it. And the anger of God. You know what? I've come to realize there's something I don't want to do. I don't want to tick off the king. I mean, he didn't know he was doing it, but he did it, didn't he? You better find out what God likes and what he doesn't like. Because he didn't like for anybody except a certain group of people to touch the ark. And he had already told them which ones could touch it. But he never thought about that. Surely God wouldn't mind, you know, if I just touch it to stabilize it. Yeah, I'm not one of the priests. But surely if I just, it's going to fall, so I'm going to get a hold of it. I don't want to just run out of the way and let it fall on the ground. But he should have. You know, under the new covenant, it's a good thing his mercy is new every morning, because he wasn't. I got ideas a bunch of us would already be dead, don't you? You know, I wonder how many times I ticked him off in my life. He said, okay, I'm going to be patient with you one more time, Keith. Just one more. You and me both know where I'm coming from, don't we, sir?
Yes, sir.
Whoa! If he hadn't been merciful with you and me, I know two boys. There's another one right behind you. Ernest, me and you know we wouldn't have never made it if he hadn't been merciful, right? He struck him dead beside the ark of God because he merely touched the ark. You know, when God tells somebody to not do something, he means what he says. And somebody said, this loving God that we serve, he would never do nothing like that to us. What did he say he did? Jack, I don't want to tick him off, do you? No, sir. I'd a whole lot rather make him happy. I'd rather make him happy and see his healings and his miracles and his salvation, hadn't you?
Yes, sir.
And see him answer my prayer every time I ask him for something. That's the part we love, isn't it? When he does that, we think, whoa, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, look what David was. David was angry because the Lord's anger had blazed out against Uzziah. He named the place Perez Uzziah, which means outbreak against Uzziah. It is still called that today. Now, David was angry. Now, let me tell you, if God does something, you better watch it if you get angry. You know, I come back to the point I think about, and I was telling Tom about, I think Tom, somebody about this a while ago. I said, I remember about 6 years ago, when I had worked diligently for a corporation. Of course, the corporation changed three different times in 30 years, 29 years. And I had worked and poured out my heart for those people. But technically speaking, I knew I was not working for that corporation. I was working for Jesus. And I know the King never lets me down. But after 29 years of dedicated service, they walked in one day and says, we need to see you in 30 minutes at the headquarters building in the HR office. I thought, I wonder why they want to see me in 30 minutes. And they said, drop every, and the order for me to go over came from the top manager in the building where I was. I was a manager too. So I got in my truck and I drove over there. I walked in. I said, walked into HR and I said, what can I do for y'all? Thurman, you are going to have to stop talking to people about Jesus in the workplace. I said, no, absolutely not. I took that out of my vocabulary years ago. Amen. I said, I serve the living God. They said, Thurman, we had some complaints against you and said you were mishandling. They showed me the letter. Of course, it was typed, so I couldn't, it had no name on it. Said, we had a letter that came to our world headquarters office. It didn't just come to the corporate headquarters. It went to the world headquarters, official complaint against me that I was mishandling company funds and company equipment. So they sent an internal team and an external team, and they came to check me out, and they was there 30 days, both teams. And when they come to me for the results of it, they said, well, we've been sent to check, and we can't find not one penny out of place. You have the best records of anybody ever in our corporation. We can't find nothing you've done wrong with nothing. There's nobody has any problem with you, except we find one little thing that we don't understand. I said, what's that? They said, we find a little Ranger pickup that used to belong to you. I said, oh, yeah. And it now belongs to our company. I said, that's true. We can find no records where the company ever paid you for that. Wow. I said, that's right. I said, we had a pickup burn out there. It got a short in some wiring, and it burned out there on the ramp. And I went to the, and it totally burned it up. I said, I went to the company to try to get enough money to replace it. I had to have that pickup to get the job done. And I said, they would not provide me with the money for a new one. And so I asked them for a used one, and they would not provide me with money for a used one. They said they couldn't afford it. So I had a little Ranger pickup that I just overhauled the engine on and the automatic transmission, and it was in perfect shape, and I really didn't need it. So I just thought, okay, I can't let them drive it in my name. So I said, I signed it over free to the company. Wow. You give that to us? I said, yeah. The company's been good to me. So I said, yeah, I gave that to y'all. You gave us a truck? I said, yeah, if y'all can't afford one, I can. I work for Jesus. So they couldn't find a thing in my records that was wrong. Nothing. And you know, a few years before that, a man had called me. He was an ex-pastor, and he had got out of the workforce and out of the pastor, got back into workforce. And one day he said, I'm driving down the road, and I hadn't seen him in 5 or 6 years. And he called me on the phone and said, Thurman, the Lord just spoke to me and told me to call you. And I said, what? He said, yeah. I said, well, I hadn't talked to you in 5 or 6 years. I said, what are you doing? He told me. He said, but I'm driving down the road, and the Lord spoke to him and said, call Thurman right now and tell him I'm going to give him the spirit of Daniel. I said, the spirit of Daniel. And then I saw that come to pass. That's exactly what happened to Daniel. You know, Daniel was in the workplace. He had knowledge and wisdom to interpret dreams and do great things. And anytime anybody needed it, where's the man of God? And they finally come down, and they couldn't find nothing wrong with what he did, but they could find what he did wrong for Jesus, and so that's what they condemned him with. That's how they fired me. I thought, you know, God, you did give me the spirit of Daniel. I'm grateful for that. After all, he's the king. Amen. You know, I just work for him. You just work for him. So anyway, they couldn't find a thing wrong with me, but they said, we're going to give you one last chance. You have to stop talking about Jesus in the workplace, and you have to start praying. Stop praying for everybody in the workplace. I said, no. That's not even an option.
Amen.
They said, well, we're going to send you home with pay for 2 weeks, and then we're going to call you back and give you one last chance. I said, well, you might as well finish it now because I ain't changed. And I thought, no, that's okay. Give me 2 weeks. I love it. You know, because they're going to say this is going to pay me and let me go home. I said, okay, good. I'll go home and think about it. I went home and I meditated on the Word of God for 2 weeks, and they paid me. I thought, wow, what a vacation. This is great. I don't have to do nothing. Got my paycheck. So I went back in. They called me and said, okay, come back in 2 o'clock this afternoon. I said, okay. I went in and they said, now then, one last chance. Are you going to stop talking about Jesus in the workplace? I said, absolutely not. Amen. Absolutely not. They said, well, here, would you sign these papers? I looked at them and says, you know, if you sign these, you agree to a termination without any kind of problems. And these are the 5 things that you're being terminated for. And all of them revolved around my service to the King. Nothing to do with my work. Not a thing wrong with my work. I said, praise God. I can't think of a better thing in the world to get fired for than Jesus. So I signed the papers, and as soon as I signed the papers and they handed me a copy, I said, praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. And this one lady, she said, I ain't never seen nobody like you. Do you realize that you're just out of a job? I said, ma'am, I never did work for this company. I work for Jesus. And I said, I don't know what he has for me in the future, but I know he's got something going on. Now, I said, somebody asked me here a while back. They said, Thurman, how long are you going to work as an engineer? I said, forever. I'm young. I'm vibrant. I'm in good health. So, hey, I'm going to work forever. And Jesus says, oh, yeah, I got different plans. See, the King has different plans sometimes. You know, and his and yours don't coincide. Amen. And if he's not getting your attention, he'll get it some other way.
Amen.
That's just like this last week. I was wanting to get a little piece of land for us to have. It's kind of like a little, little resort area or whatever. And I wanted to buy 100 acres land out close to Lubbock. I went out there and looked at, but Dave and I went out there and I liked it. And so I thought, well, I'll take Cheryl out there. So the next day I flew her out there and she liked it. And we thought this would be great. Had a beautiful little 3-bedroom brick home on it and everything. You know, nice, had a well and power and everything. And right on a nice highway and everything else. And the guy was asking $97,000 for a 97 acres of land with a house. I told him, I said, I'll make him an offer. I'll give him $90,000 for it. The guy said, well, you got a business card? Sure. So I got one. So she gave him a business card, the real estate guy. He said, well, I'll talk to him and see if he'll take $90,000. I said, okay. And on the way home, I got to thinking, you know, if he don't take $90,000, I'm going to give him the $97,000, you know, because it's worth it, I thought. But you know me, I'm always going to try to save a little money if I can. The next day, we were in Georgia. About noon, he hadn't called, and so we were getting ready to go over to the church in a little while. So I thought, well, I'll call him. He said, well, there's him and his wife still debating on what they're going to do. Okay. The next day at 1 o'clock, he called me. And he said, I don't know what's going on, Thurman. I said, what do you mean? He said, they've told me that they've changed their mind and the land is not for sale at any price. If I ever had a door slammed in my face by God, when that happens, you know what the Lord's trying to say? This ain't yours. He got something better. That's right. He said, this ain't yours. I got something else for you. So did I fuss over that? Absolutely not. I said, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. See, now his ways, do I understand God? No. Does this guy understand God? No. This guy, if he'd understood God, he wouldn't have reached up and touched that, would he, Tom? If he'd have had any clue, or at least he was fixing to die when you reached up to do something good for God, Blower said, it's over. I told you not to touch that, and I'm in it. Woo! When the King says don't do something, he means business. But David was angry. You know, you might be angry if one of your employees got killed and he's serving God and he's doing everything. And you went, what is this? Especially if you knew God did it. David was angry because the Lord's anger had blazed out against Uzziah. Somebody said, God don't have an anger problem. He may not have an anger problem, but he's got an anger. We see it right there, don't we? Now let's go to the next verse, 9 and 10. David was now afraid of the Lord. Hey, fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Until you get that, You're just out there doing what you want to do, and you think, God ain't going to do nothing to me. But let me tell you. In fact, we had one of the people in that meeting down there, I believe it was one in Georgia. They got to spend, I think it was 2 hours in hell. Was that Georgia, honey? Yeah. This man, he got to spend 2 hours in hell. And let me tell you, he said it was months before I could even talk about it. He said, I don't want to go back to that place. You know, I told him, I said, you know, I got a few people in my church ought to spend 5 minutes down there at least. You know, if every one of you could just spend 5 minutes in that place, you would be a different person next Sunday. You know that? If I were to take you and set you on a hot, burning fire and say, you know, I'm only going to light this fire under you for just 1 second, you would hate me forever. Wouldn't you, Jesse? No, you wouldn't. You ain't going there, are you? But you don't want to get in that fire for a second, do you? How would you like to have been those little children the other day in the Dallas News when that woman doused them little children with gasoline and her? Anybody see that in the paper? Several of y'all saw that in the paper. Just think, that woman doused her children with gasoline herself and then lit them, and all of them died, burning to death. That's got to be awful. I mean, that's got to be a woman controlled by the devil.
Amen.
I mean, that she can kill her own children. But David was now afraid of the Lord, and he asked, how can I ever bring the ark of the Lord back into my care? In other words, he's afraid. You know what? I'd be afraid too. If somebody reached up and touched that thing and he fell dead, I ain't going to walk up and touch that thing. Are you Jennifer? No, I ain't going to. You think God means business, young lady? You know he does, don't you? He means serious business. How can I ever bring the ark of God, of the Lord, back into my care? So David decided not to move the ark. I said, just leave that baby sitting there. You know, let's get the priest over here and let them move it somewhere else. But we ain't messing with this thing. When God says nobody but these priests are to touch this thing, he was serious. So David decided not to move the ark. What did I do? I lost the... We go back just a little bit. Yeah, we're moved too quick. Yeah, let's go. Yeah, there. So David decided not to move the Ark of the Lord into the city of David. He took it instead to the home of Obed-Edom of Gath. Had the priest take it over there. In other words, we get it to the closest place we can get it out of ours and get it in somebody else's care. You know, because I don't want to touch this thing. Do you, Eldon? Uh-uh. Not unless we're ready to go home, right? And I don't want to go home with God's anger. Do you, Bill? That's the last thing I'd want. Is for him to say, Bill, that's the last mistake I'm going to let you make down there. Bam, I'm bringing you to house. And then you come in and you say, well, you didn't obey me, but I brought you home, but you ain't going to get no rewards. How would you like to hear that from the king?
No, I don't
want to hear that at all. Do you?
No.
It is scary. It really is. But the ark of the Lord remained there with the family of Obed-Edom for 3 months. And the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Now then, I'm sure this guy don't want to get rid of this thing. You know, if it's in my house, you know, you guys, it's okay. You guys, I ain't going out and tell everybody I'm being blessed because I want this thing to stay around forever. You know, I mean, you would, wouldn't you? His whole family's being blessed. I mean, he ain't never been blessed. So, okay, now, Jordan, let's go to the next two. Then King David was told, the Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's home and everything he has because of the Ark of God. Now, wait a minute. If David, if he's being blessed, David said, I need to be blessed. So David went there and brought the Ark to the city of David with a great celebration. Now, what? Brought it there with a what? It wasn't no little thing. I mean, what ago when we started out, he only had how many men with him? Oh, only 30,000. That's a little bitty troop, right? 30,000 of them, and David was out there. I mean, they were dancing and singing and praising the Lord, were they not?
Yes, sir.
Well, I think that's a pretty good size celebration. I never been in a church with 30,000 people dancing before the Lord. Have you? I ain't never been in a church with 30,000 people. You know, I ain't never been in one church with 3,000. You know, but I will have to say, the day I was in the one with 3,000, I think James was there with me that day, and I believe he was the one that told me, how many standing ovations did Jesus get that day? I mean, it was a bunch of them, wasn't it? When you tell a story, I mean, I didn't even realize it, but James told me later. He counted them. But when you tell one of these stories, people just jumped up and praised God. You know, and I thought, wow, that's awesome. I thought, man, they ain't praising me, that's for sure. I'm just a little country boy. But they're giving the King praise and worship and honor. But it says, everything was blessed because of the ark. So David went there and brought the ark to the city with a great celebration. After the men who were carrying it had gone six steps, only six steps, David said, hold it. We got to worship and praise the Lord. We got to make a sacrifice to the king. So they made six steps and they stopped and waited so David could sacrifice an ox and a fatted calf. Sacrificed them, killed them, cut them up. And the blood run. That sounds kind of messy, don't it? But that's what he did, isn't it? The blood. I mean, that Psalms and everything, and that song that Dave went over a while ago, what is it that cleanses us today? The blood of Jesus, of a man. The blood of God. You know, he cleansed and purified us. Without that, you ain't going to get in heaven. You ain't going to get there, I don't care what you do. I mean, you can't be good enough to get there. But one after he washes you with that blood, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that think they're going to be okay. But after he washes you with that blood, he expects you to straighten up your act. Amen. He expects you to stop sinning. Amen. He expects you to walk holy before him. And there's going to be a lot of people that is going to continue to live in sin. And then one day they're going to think, well, you know, my daddy abused me when I was a little girl. So I'm going to have a grudge. I'm thinking about Norma Garcia and her testimony back there on that TVD. Norma was a great mother and a great grandmother. You could ask her children, what about Mama? Oh, she's a great woman. She loves God. She goes to church every time the door's open. She's the sweetest thing. Ask your grandbabies. Oh, Grandma's the best woman you've ever seen. But Norma's always in the hospital, having a surgery, doing this, sickness, disease. And now she's down with Parkinson's and lupus and probably going to die pretty soon. And she heard me teach about all these things one night. And she said, you know, I had a grudge against my daddy. I held that internally. He abused me when I was a little girl. But I have legal right to hold that grudge against him. He abused me. But God didn't see it like that. Because of her disobedience, God had sent a tormenting spirit to her, and she had had numerous surgeries and been in hospitals in and out and had been beaten up on by the devil all those years. And a few years ago when I went down to Louisiana and taught, and she got a hold of that, and she walked down that aisle repenting, Lord, I repent. I forgive my daddy. And all I did was reach up and put my hand on her shoulder and say, in the name of Jesus. And the king instantly healed that woman of everything. 4 or 5 years later, she went out to GLC with us. She said, I ain't been back to a doctor in 4 or 5 years. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. What if you don't know He's good? What if you don't know His laws? What if you don't meditate on those laws? I mean, you know, she's a little sweetheart. Surely God wouldn't send a demon to one of His little sweethearts to torment her because she held a grudge against her daddy that abused her. But He did. And she paid the consequence for all those years. And then when she got right with God, He forgave her and healed her. Hey, I don't want to carry that grudge and have to be sick and afflicted in and out of the hospitals for 10 or 15 or 20 years. Do you? No. I'd rather do it His way and walk in divine health. But David, he feared the Lord, didn't he? I'm telling you. And do you fear Him? Let me tell you, I do. I stand in awe of him. So David went there and brought the ark. And then it says, after the men who were carrying it had gone six steps, they stopped and waited so David could sacrifice an ox and a fatted calf. I mean, he's washing the place with the blood. He's killing these animals. Okay? And David danced. Oh, he did what? Now, I hope none of y'all would be offended if someday I jerk my coat off again like I do and start and get violent before God. Amen. I hope you don't. I hope it doesn't bother you. Because David danced before the Lord with You think that's getting with it, Eldon? He wasn't going down a road like this, was he? Some people get offended at this. Some people get offended at this. I used to be in a church that it took me a long time to get to where I could raise my hands because nobody else in that place would. Nobody. So I finally thought, okay, Lord, I'll just sit on the front row and then I don't have to know what they're doing. And then one day I was in the post office and there was a lady walked up to me and she shook my hand and said, "Hi, Thurman, how are you doing?" I said, "Ma'am, I don't know you. You act like you know me." She said, "Oh, yeah, I know you. My son and I, we know you well." I said, "Well, ma'am, how do you know me?" "Oh," she said, "we go to the Baptist church that you go to up there, that big one up there on top of the hill." I said, "Well, I never saw you." "Oh," she said, "we see you every Sunday." She said, "One day we were there and my little son, he's 10. He looked over there and he said, you were the only man in the congregation that had your hands up." Amen. And he looked and he says, "Mama, why does that man have his hands up and nobody else does?" She said, "Well, son, I guess he just loves Jesus maybe more than the rest of us do." Amen. And she said, "I didn't know what," said, "in a few minutes I looked down, he stepped out an aisle and he had his little hands raised." Amen. She said, "My son looks for you, and every time you raise your hands, he steps out in the aisle. He says, that man loves Jesus that much. I want to love him that much, too." Amen. Is that the kind of influence you want to be on the little guys? Amen. You want to be a football player that's a drunk or whatever and let the kids be, you be their idol? No. I want them to see me worshiping the King.
Amen.
Yeah. I don't want them to see me no other way. I don't want them to know me no other way. But I was so floored when she said that. I said, "Well, I guess he just loves Jesus more than we do." She said, "My son always holds his hands up in church now. It no matter where we go, when they start singing and praising, he holds his hands up." But isn't that sad? That you can go to a church and people feel intimidated. I mean, they go to a church where nobody's got their hands up, they ain't going to raise theirs. Who cares what somebody else is doing?
Amen.
You know? Who cares if there ain't nobody else dancing? Who cares if there ain't nobody else praising the Lord? Maybe God's only got something for you today. But David, what did he do? He danced before the Lord with all his might, only wearing a priestly tunic. In other words, he's almost naked. He got a little something on. You know, now, I just took my coat off, you know. Now, I could have went a whole lot further, you know, took my shirt off and... Some of y'all would have really went nuts if I'd have done that, wouldn't you? She would have said, "Who is this man up here on the platform?" Well, let's see what happened to David's wife. So David and all Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with much shouting and blowing of trumpets. Is this a party? Are these guys praising the King?
Amen.
I mean, they're praising the King. Let's go to the next couple. But as the ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window, and when she saw King David, her husband, leaping and dancing before the King, she was filled with contempt for him. She didn't like it. "My husband, the King, how dare him dance before all them little... peasant girls out there with no clothes on. How dare him do something like that?" The ark of the Lord was placed inside the special tent that David had prepared for it, and David sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. Is he trying to tell God, "I love you, Lord"? He danced violently with all his might all the way up that road. I mean, can you imagine if we were going to take this thing for 10 or 20 or 30 miles and you have to dance violently like that all the way out there in that sun? Of course, the sun's hot over there in the Middle East where they were at. But he didn't care. He was dancing to the Lord. And when we worship the Lord, that's the way everybody's different. If you want to worship God some way, don't let what anybody else does offend you. I remember that time when that PhD from one of the Baptist seminaries said, he said, when we went to the Toronto thing, we had heard about what God was doing up there, and so we ain't never seen God do nothing as Baptist. So he went up there with one of his friends, two of them PhDs. He said, we got up there, we got in the very back. He said, when the worship service started, there was a little hippie, you know, 18, 20-year-old guy, had some tattoos on him, long, strangly hair. He looked awful. He said he went down there, and he was on his knees, and he was tears coming out of his eyes, and he thought, oh, God, look at that. And the Lord says, if you would humble yourself like that before me, I might do something for you once in a while. Hey, there's a whole lot of them PhDs, and a lot of the rest of us need to hear God when he talk like that. You know it?
Amen.
See, what does God look on? The heart. That's right. I mean, that little kid, yeah, maybe he didn't look like a PhD with a three-piece suit on. But he knew how to worship the king.
Amen.
And the king loved it, obviously. And see, that's the thing. Don't ever make fun of somebody else. I mean, you don't know where they are with God.
Amen.
You don't know at all. And of course, this lesson that James had this morning was great. I just got in the last few seconds when he's talking about King David again. And I didn't have any idea what he's going to teach on this morning. But David, you know, the guy that thought he would do David a great service, and he would kill the anointed one of God. And so he went and told David, I killed him for you. David says, what? You touched God's anointed? Now, he thought he was going to get a reward because he killed David's enemy. But David killed him.
Amen.
Sure did. Whoa. You don't mess with God's anointed. I mean, don't matter whether they're doing things right or wrong. You don't mess with them.
Amen.
I mean, phew. But David was leaping and dancing before the Lord, but his wife was filled with contempt. And then the ark was put there, and he sacrificed with peace offerings to the Lord. And then now the next couple of verses. When he had finished, David blessed the people in the name of the Lord. You know, as he blessed them. Yeah, that's what Jesus did too. The first thing the Lord did when he made Adam and Eve is he blessed them. The last thing he did before he left this earth, he blessed his people. So David, he's just following suit. David blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a gift of food to every man and woman in Israel, a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins. Then everyone went home. Boy, that's quite a gift. If he had 30,000 soldiers, I'd hate to have to give just everybody in the ministry center a loaf of bread and a cake of dates and raisins. I'm just thinking about giving all y'all a gift. But obviously there was no need, no lack in David's camp, right, Tom? Well, he had plenty. God had blessed him abundantly. Now let's go to the next couple. When David returned home to bless his family, his wife Michelle came out to meet him and said in disgust, she was upset with the boy. How many of y'all know God made a woman to submit to her husband? Obviously, she didn't know that. Obviously, she'd never read the book. Michelle came out to meet him and said in disgust how glorious the king of Israel looked today. Can you imagine hearing her say that to her lovely husband? He exposed himself to the servant girls like any indecent person might do. He exposed himself to all them other girls. He had a few clothes on, but he was dancing violently. And it says, David retorted to Michelle, I was dancing before the Lord.
Amen.
Now see, that's the secret. It don't make any difference who's watching you.
Right.
If I go wild up in this platform, y'all don't go wild against me because I ain't doing this for y'all.
Amen.
I'm worshiping the king.
Amen.
You know, and I do whatever I do it as unto the Lord and to nobody else. I ain't trying to please people. I've learned a long time ago, there ain't no way I can please all people. I can please some of you some of the time, but I can't please all of you all of the time.
Amen.
So that David knew this. He says, David retorted to Michelle, he said, I was dancing before the Lord who chose me above your father and his family. Isn't that something? Who chose David to be king of Israel? God did. God did. Who chose you to be where you are today? God did. Who put me up here in this place? God did. And He's the one that answers every one of the prayers I pray. He's the one that heals every one of them. He's the one that gives me all the wisdom and revelation that I have. And I can't take no glory for none of it. Because without Him, I can't take another breath. Not another breath. And you can't either. So we ought to show Him a little respect once in a while. And it might be good if once in a while you go home or out in the pasture all by yourself and practice dancing violently before the Lord. Where nobody can see you. But God. Say, Lord, I don't want none of these people to see me. You know, so I'm just going to go out. I'm going to get in the barn and close all the doors. You know. Or I'm going to get in my bedroom and I'm going to close all the doors. And I'm going to put on a little music. And Lord, me and you, I'm just going to dance with you today. But I want to tell you how much I love you. And David danced violently before you. Lord, I want to dance violently before you to show you how much I love you. It might do some of us some good. You know that? And I know it would make God happy because He likes it. Now, when you do it for Him. If you do it for show, that's not, he ain't going there with you. That's not God. If you're doing something to show out, He ain't going to like it. It says, David retorted, I was dancing before the Lord who chose me above your father and his family. He appointed me as a leader of Israel, the people of the Lord. So I am willing to act like a fool in order to show my joy to the Lord.
Amen.
How many people do you know are willing to do that? Amen. I am too. But you know, I was raised up in that Baptist church, and you have no idea. Yep, some of you may have. When God began to move on my heart, I need to worship Him. And you know, and I think, ain't nobody in this place got their hands up. But I need, so I'd only raise one about this high. You know, y'all know where I'm coming from? Anybody ever been there? I so wanted to raise my hand to worship Him, then I finally got to where I'd raise two, but I wouldn't raise them any higher in my head, you know. And then finally the Lord just convicted me, you're going to praise me or not? Well, the knowledge and wisdom and revelation I'm giving you and the healings I'm doing for you out there, you going to praise me or not? You want me to cut off your power? No, Lord, no. I'll do it. I'll do it. So, okay, I just moved out the front row right here. On the very front, when we start singing, I just do this. And that way I can look up. There ain't nobody in front of me. I don't know what nobody else is doing. I could care less. And God increased my anointing. And He started increasing my power with Him and my prayer results. And so I thought, ooh, and the more He did that, the more I wanted to just violently praise the King. Amen. I mean, you can't, when you begin to see God answer your prayer and you see the people healed that Cheryl and I have had the privilege to see healed, hey, you ain't trying to please nobody out there. You're just wanting to do what God calls you to do. You know that? And I want my anointing to increase. I definitely don't want to tick Him off because I saw what happened when He got ticked off. The guy got killed. But I'm going to show you what happened to his wife. God obviously was a little more happy with David than He was with Michelle. Uh-oh, let's go on to the next verse. Yes, and I am willing to look even more foolish than this, but I would be held in honor by the girls of whom you have spoken. So Michelle, the daughter of Saul, remained childless throughout her life. God was not pleased with her. He closed her womb. You will have no children because of your sin. Back in those days, if a woman didn't have a baby, it was awful. It was awful. You know, there's people in some, like the Indian nation today, it's still, you ain't nothing if you're a woman, you ain't got one or two children. Nobody thinks you're nothing. You got to have babies. You know. But today, you know, that's not us, America. You know, we want to go out and have all the sex we want with everybody wants to. We don't want no kids. You know, we don't want them. That's the way we think. That ain't God's way. Now then, let's go to Psalms 150. And we'll round it up on Psalms 150. Praise the Lord. My goodness gracious. You reckon He likes praise?
Amen.
You really think He does?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Oh, there it is again. Praise God in the heavenly dwellings. Praise Him in His mighty heaven. I mean, maybe it would be a good idea this afternoon to get in your room somewhere and just start praising Him. Because He's telling us to, isn't He? praise it. Thereby lands the next verse. We can't read nothing here that ain't got praise in it. You reckon he likes that, Esther? Oh, yeah, he loves it, doesn't he? Now, while you're standing washing dishes, you can praise him, can't you? You think he likes that? I know he does. I know he does. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequal greatness. He's worthy to be praised. Go to the next couple of verses. Praise him with the blast of the trumpet. Whoa! Let's blast the trumpet in here. We don't want to offend nobody with a trumpet now. You know. And if you don't like a trumpet, that's okay. You don't have to come to church here. That's okay. You know, everybody's not in the same place. Some people got knowledge of the word and believe what it says, and others don't. Somebody said, well, I don't like praising God. I said, okay, go ahead and don't praise him. It's okay for you to be wrong if you want to. You can be wrong if you want to, right? What are you going to get from the Lord? Not a whole lot. Praise him with the blast of the trumpet. Praise him with the lyre and the harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. I remember when the chairman of deacons' daughter got married at Lakeland Baptist Church, we went out to a place and she wanted her daddy, chairman of deacons, to dance with her first after the wedding in the place. And so we danced with her. After the dance was over, he came up to me and he said, Thurman, how am I going to explain that to the deacons? I said, tell them just to read Psalm 150. Amen. And then get over it. Amen. Is that right, Keith? I mean, praise him with the blast of the trumpet. Praise him with the lyre and the harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. That don't leave out a whole lot, does it? You think God likes to be praised with all this stuff?
Amen.
Now then. Is there another verse? That's all of them. One more? Two more. Praise him with the clash of the cymbals. Oh, well, boy, those things are bang, you know. Praise him with the clash of the cymbals. Praise him with soft clanging cymbals. Oh, that's not what he said. With loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that lives sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is that an awesome psalm? Now then, I've told you all those things and showed you all this in word to tell you something else. The Living Savior Ministers in this building has been evicted as of the end of November for our music because of our choir. The man that owns this building, Fred Van Loo, does not like Cheryl as the choir director. And he wrote me two long letters and told me, I will not let you stay in this building if she is the choir director. Isn't that sad? I told Fred a while ago when he came in, I said, Fred, I love you, and I know I have nothing against you. I know God's moving me to a new place.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you all why Cheryl's the choir director. Because a few weeks ago, James, which was leading the music, came to me and said, Thurman, I feel led to teach the Word of God, and my family are going to leave the church, and we're going to go somewhere else and teach God's Word. He said, will you make the announcement? I said, I'll make the announcement for you next Sunday. Before next Sunday, I felt not to make the announcement. But now then, I know he's leaving, so I got to have somebody to fill in.
Amen.
Well, now, if you're married to a great singer like my wife, who do you think I'm going to ask? I don't have to go very far. I got one built in.
Amen.
And she works for the Lord, and so I don't have to pay her. I didn't have to pay James either. I'm just kidding, you know. James didn't have to pay him either. Praise God, they did it all free. I don't have a problem. But I had to have somebody to fill in. Well, I didn't tell y'all what was going on, you know. And I understand a lot of people got upset because all of a sudden James and them's not singing no more. Now Cheryl and them's up there. What happened? Well, you know, sometimes I don't think to tell you why things happen. I just take care of business, you know. I mean, I figure if it's music, it's music, you know. I'm not a musician. You know, I don't know one note from another, you know, so I love it all.
Amen.
And when Fred used to lead the music with no music, a cappella, I liked it. When we got a keyboard to go with it, I even liked it better. But, you know, boy, the keyboard player had to do it just exactly like he wanted. You know, and I understand that now. I didn't. But that's okay. That's the way he likes things. That's Fred, you know. And I don't have a problem with Fred, you know. If he wants it that way, that's okay. But when James and them come along, I love James and them singing too, didn't y'all?
Amen.
Sure, I loved it. They great. I just love seeing James stand up here praising the Lord. I mean, he just get into it. I mean, he was really getting good. I mean, huh? Well, I know you didn't, but that's what you should have. If you'd have known the word, you'd no. I'm just kidding you, Jay. You don't have to dance. It, you know, some people do, some people don't. But when Jameson told me they was going to leave, and they was going to go somewhere and teach the word, and he didn't really know where he was going, but he knew he was going somewhere. And then when I didn't make the announcement, I thought, before I make the announcement, I want to tell him maybe that he would be willing to stay here, and he would be willing to teach a Bible study class, you know, before the worship service. And I thought, well, I called him and asked him if he'd do that. And he said, well, I'll pray about it. Well, in a few days, he called me back and said, we'll do it. Well, in the meantime, I've already got Cheryl, and she's already got her singers, and they're practicing, and I buy all this equipment. So what am I going to do? I'm going to leave her and her team up here. I'm not going to go back, you know, because I've stepped forward, and I just don't change. Amen. So I thought, okay, the girls are going to take care of the music. Now, James is going to take care of the teaching and the Bible study. And so now everybody's got something to do. Praise God. You know, I'm spreading the work around. And so Cheryl gets her team up here. And girls, I want to tell y'all, I think y'all have done a lovely job. I have been wonderfully blessed with all of y'all singing. But I was wonderfully blessed with James and his family, too. You know, but Fred didn't like Cheryl. I mean, from day one, first Sunday he is here, he wrote me a multi-page letter. It took me 30 minutes to read it. And then I didn't even respond. I said, Lord, how do I Lord, I mean, the girls are doing a great job. You know, I just thought, Lord, I don't know what to do to this, so I didn't do nothing. And so he wrote me another letter, and boy, I wouldn't even let you read it. He didn't have nothing to say good about me or Cheryl. And so he said, you have till the end of November to get off of my premises. So I want to tell him thank you for letting us use it for this period of time. Amen. Now then, if anybody knows of a building where we can go, we need another building. You know, I'm not in a real big hurry to leave, but I mean, and when I first opened that letter and read it the other night, for one second, I took an offense. I took an offense. And I thought, God, this ain't you. I ain't going there. So I just closed the letter back up. Didn't read the first lines. All I read, closed the letter back up. We started home. I let Cheryl read it to me. But this time I'm in total control. You know, I'm letting the Lord. So I just let her read it. She read the whole thing to me. And it was not nice about either one of us. But that's where Fred is. You know, he has the building leased. And if he don't want us here, then we're not going to be here. I know it's not Fred. I know it's God. See, that's what you got to get in here. It's not Fred. Don't get into offense with Fred. God's moved on Fred's heart to move some. Because when I see Cheryl and her girls up here, it don't offend me at all. You know, and I hope it doesn't offend any of you. But it did him. So for it depending him, it's got to be God moving on him since he's the owner of this building to tell us we're not welcome here no more. Because God, just like when they got me fired, that was God too.
Amen.
See? So he's going to provide me with another building somewhere. And this time, he's going to provide me one that's going to belong to the Living Savior Ministries. And then, I don't know what it is, but I'm hoping it's going to be a whole lot bigger and a whole lot more like a church than this. You know. But God's done a lot of miracles in this place. A lot of people got healed in this building. I can look at a many of you out there, and you come right here in this little warehouse, and you got healed. And your lives have been changed right in this place. So we praise God that Fred let us have this building to use all these years. But now then, I know that God's moving us somewhere else. And we got a maximum of 2 months to get there. So that's why I was telling Jack a while ago, I didn't tell him the details, but I said, we're going to need another building soon. See, so if anybody anywhere knows of a building You know, I mean, a warehouse, a Walmart store, you know, that's closed up. A church that's closed down. A shopping center, you know, whatever it is. Somebody said, well, good grief, that's lots of money. We got lots of money. God's got lots of money. Ain't no big deal. Money's not the object. We just need something that's closed down, that's not being used, that is maybe that's been vacated, and they can't sell it for what they're looking for, and we find it, and God's going to give us, and He's going to buy that for us. He's going to provide us with a building. You know, so don't worry about that. If you see a building somewhere, and you say, oh, man, that thing's 10,000 square feet. Thurman can't afford that. No, Thurman can't, but God can. No problem. You know, if you find one that's 2,000 square feet somewhere that you think might be perfect for us, hey, you let me know. You pray and you start looking. You see something? Because we do have till the end of November to get out. You know? Huh? Oh, yeah, the bigger the better. Yeah. Yeah, the bigger the better. But I just want you to know what's going on. And I wanted some of you, which I understood, there was a little bit of a turmoil. Whenever James and them left the scene, people said, well, why did Thurman kick them out? I didn't kick them out. You know, I never did ask them to leave. I mean, they're right there. He knows what I'm saying is the truth. He come to me and told me he was leaving. Isn't that right, James? Yeah, it's what he told me. He said, I was leaving. I have felt I need to teach the Word of God, and I need to go somewhere to do it. And that's when I thought the next week, well, maybe he'd do it here. And so he graciously agreed. And so he's been having a Bible study from 12:30 to 1:30. And we're going to continue everything until God tells me, until he gives me something else somewhere. And if he don't give me something else somewhere else between now and then the last Sunday in November will be our last Sunday. You know, so we will not be here December the 1st. Well, that's it. Yes, sir. Amen. I receive that in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. We don't know where that's at. We have already seen the King do some mighty wonderful things. You know, mighty wonderful things. But still, I want to go way beyond that. Don't you? I want to go way beyond that. I want to see multitudes of people get saved. Oh, by the way, I got to tell y'all. My honey bunny had never led anybody to Jesus. We had two little girls, 7 and 14, 12. 7 and 12, and then a little friend, and their daddy was a Baptist preacher, and neither one of these girls knew Jesus. And their granddaddy was a Baptist preacher, but the 7 and 12-year-old little girl, Baptist preacher for a daddy, neither one of them knew Jesus. And in fact, when we were there, the mother was there, but he wouldn't come. And he told the girls, now, don't you let nobody touch you down in that place. Don't you let nobody lay hands on you. So he scared them. And so I knew I couldn't talk to them. And they wouldn't even come up to be prayed for no reason, even with mother. So Cheryl said, I'll go back there and talk to them. So Cheryl went back there. And before it was over, Cheryl built those little girls' confidence. And she led both of them to Jesus. And then one of the little girls that was with them, which was her friend, she said, you know, I have a real bad cavity in my tooth. And Cheryl said, Jesus can fix that.
Amen.
And so she asked the little girls that just accepted Jesus, would they lay hands on their friend and pray? Amen. And those two brand new little Christian girls laid hands on their little 10-year-old friend and prayed. And then she says, I don't feel the hole no more. It's not there no more. How would you like to start out leading two little girls to Jesus, and the first miracle they see their little friend that had a cavity get healed right before their very eyes?
Amen.
I wonder how they're going to explain that to Daddy when they get home. They're going to be just like that Baptist preacher that come up here one Sunday, been years ago. He's a great guy, praise God. He's just been deceived by the enemy. He came up here and sat here and listened to me teach the Word of God. And he came up and stayed an hour and told me I was wrong. I told him, sir, I just teach it like it's written. You know, if it's wrong, God's wrong. You know, so he said, you misinterpret. I said, no, that's one thing I don't do with the Bible. I don't interpret. I just read it.
Amen.
You know, I don't translate it. I just read it. And he left, and he told his wife and his two daughters, said, well, that guy's wrong, and so we ain't never going back out there. Well, she called me about the middle of the week, and she said, Pastor, I know I have to be obedient to my husband. You know, he's a teacher of the Word of God, and I know well that I have to obey him. But I said, my daughter and I, daughters and I, we would love to come back to your teaching. And I said, well, no problem. We'll take him to the throne of grace and ask God to soften his heart. Well, we did. Well, Saturday night, when the mother come Sunday, she walked in. She said, you know, my husband, he said, I don't understand this. But he said, Saturday night, he said, I ain't going back out to that church. But he said, for some reason, I feel if you and the girls want to go tomorrow afternoon, you can go. So they came. And one of the little girls, I think she was 10 or something like that at the time, one of them was extremely tongue-tied, stuttered bad. And so the mother brought her up for me to pray for her. And I touched her and prayed for her in the name of Jesus. And the king instantly healed her tongue.
Amen.
So the next Sunday, Daddy was here. He said, Thurman, I've been a fool. I said, well, I said, no, it's just you didn't believe the word. He said, you know, I'm in a real problem now. All the people I work with and around are all great, heavy-duty Southern Baptists. He said, none of them believes this stuff. But he said, I got one of these miracles living in my house. He said, I've known for 10 years she's stuttered, and I can't hardly understand her, but she's speaking perfect this week.
Amen.
Isn't God good, Jennifer?
Yes,
isn't it wonderful to serve a king that does miracles? The server God that loves you, that answers prayer.
Yes.
Well, all I can say about that poor guy, I hope he's learned better since then. You know, because I know thousands of people today that don't know the Word of God. That don't know. But yet they're in church every Sunday. So when God moves on somebody's heart and does something, I don't want anybody in here to hold any kind of grudge, animosity, or anything else toward Fred. Next time you see him, I want you to tell him, Fred, we thank you for letting us use this building.
Amen.
Now see, when we first started, Fred allowed me to come down here with no charge for a little while. And then after I was here for a few weeks, I told him, I said, Fred, I know this costs you money. I'm here. It's costing your air conditioner and everything else. I said, so let me pay you something. And he said, well, he said, okay, if you want to, you can pay me $50 a month. I said, $50 a month? I said, how about $500 a month?
Amen.
He said, well, you want to give me $500? I said, yeah. So I paid him $500 a month for a long time. And then one day I started a Tuesday night Bible study. And he come to me after we did that a few weeks, and he said, Thurman, that's costing me a whole lot more money. You know, my guys are having to pull the curtains down, straighten things up, move things out. So he said, I need to go up on the rent. I said, how much? He said, $1,000. I said, okay. So I give him $1,000. Until just a few months ago. And his lovely wife, Kathy, came to me one day and said, Thurman, our company has been so blessed since you've been here. We've decided to let you have this facility for no charge. So the last few months, it's had no cost.
Wow.
And I hope God continues to bless him just like that. And I pray that he will, you know, because Fred's a good guy. And he loves the Lord. He loves the Lord. So we got to realize that God moved on his heart with what he's seen. Because to me, and I hope to you, I hadn't seen anything with all these ladies up here on the front. I hadn't seen anything offensive. I haven't seen a guitar being played that was offensive. I hadn't seen a bass being played that I thought was offensive. Have anybody else been offended by the music the last few Sundays? Okay, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. This way I know it's God. This way I know it's God. Only God can move on the heart of one person and the one that has the building. You know, only God can do that. So you see, we know God's going to do something, don't we, Jack?
We do.
We know he's going to do something. So I'm going to go home praising him. I told Fred a while ago, whenever he left, I said, I guess you're not going to stay for the service. I saw him in the Bible study. He said, no, I ain't staying. I said, okay, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you letting me use the building. Glory to God.
Amen.
You know, so anyway, it has been wonderful in this bay. We've seen God do some awesome miracles here. But I have no idea what he's going to do in the future. Now, something big. Something much bigger, right, Kim? We don't know what. We don't know where we're going to move to. And we may move so far or so close or whatever. And some of you may say, well, I ain't never going to that church again. That's way too far away. Who knows where we're going? I have no idea. But God knows where we're going. I don't. But we know that He has the money. He's going to provide the building and everything. Yes, Ernest?
What do you want us to look at, Pastor?
It don't make no difference to me.
I live in God and I'll be looking bad.
Amen.
I'll be looking hard.
Okay. All y'all look. Yes, John. Sir? Yeah, never. If there's any building, now there's something else I want y'all to know. We want to buy. We don't want to lease. We want to buy. We've been given an option. If we can find a building that we can buy that's closed down, foreclosed or whatever, that we can get for about 40% of what its retail value is, an organization has agreed to buy the facility and pay for it. And so, you know, and they don't care how much, they don't care how big it is. They don't care how many square feet it is. They don't care how much money it costs. As long as we're going to use it for the glory of God.
Amen.
You know, so isn't that wonderful, Elaine? No, I ain't interested in a lease. No, we don't want a lease building. We want. Yeah, if it is, that could be, yeah. But we do want something. We are not interested in a lease building. You know, in other words, if a normal building, if they want to lease it, now we're not interested. But if it's a lease building, it's been closed down a long time. Like the one I saw out in Abilene the other day, we were out there. That pastor, that building had appraised at $4.8 million. It'd been a big bowling alley. It had been closed for several years. And he went down and they had $1 million. And he offered the owner of the building $1 million. The guy laughed at him. He said, no, I ain't going to take $1 million. The building's worth 4.8. You know, so he continued to pray and asked the Lord. One day the Lord told him, he said, that building's yours by faith. Well, before it was all over, he did finally buy that building for $1 million.
Have y'all ever been to Shreveport? There is a huge, huge, enclosed mall that the city of Shreveport sold to a church for $1.
Wow. Well, I know Bill Gothard got a $43 million complex for $9 million. And somebody bought that for him, too, and then give it to him for a dollar. You know, same kind of deal. You know, so, you know, and of course, that was awesome. You know, he got that $43 million complex, had 23 homes on it, an airstrip, you know, and big building, 10,000 square foot building. It was 23 or 2,400 acre complex. And they bought that. For $9 million, yeah, do what? Yeah, you know which one I'm talking about.
I've been all over it.
Yeah. But an organization bought that for him for $9 million, paid for it, and leased it to him for 1 year for a dollar, and then at the end of the year they give it to him for another dollar. So the Bill Gothard Ministries owns that. That's where I spoke that time, and he told me that story about how he got that. Yes, Paul? No question? Okay, praise the Lord. Now then you know what's going on. Now everybody's heard the story about why James is not singing anymore. I didn't tell that in detail before, but now you know why they're not singing. Now you know why Cheryl and the girls are singing, because they were going to leave, but they didn't leave, and they're going to stay, and I don't know how long they're going to stay. You know, I mean, James might find a teaching in another church somewhere. And if he does, there's not anybody tied to this ministry but me and Cheryl. You know, we're tied to this thing. God give it to us. We can't get away from it. And I'm really the only one tied to it, but she can't get away because I got her locked in. You know, she ain't going nowhere. When God made me and her one, we're one, you know. But anyway, praise the Lord. It's great, and we're going to continue to see God do great things here. But I do want y'all to, all of you, to start praying and looking for us a building. If you find that building, you know, that's for sale. You know, that's a foreclosed building or it's been sitting vacant for a long time. We're willing to talk to the people to see what it appraises at and what they're willing to sell it for. And we got an organization that's got cash to buy it.
Amen.
Ain't no problem. I don't care where it is. Oh, it would be nice, I guess, you know, in the Metroplex. Somewhere, you know, I don't care where it's at, you know, but...
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. We want God, we definitely want the ministry to be where God wants us to be, you know. Let's do that. Let's just stand. Let's just do that before we pray for anybody. Let's stand. And another thing I want y'all to pray for, too, this is extremely important. I want us to pray, but Cheryl and I have been getting more and more and more reports about what's fixing to happen in America. And it ain't good. You know, I hate to be a doomsday person, but, you know, I'm hearing bad reports. We got an email yesterday. I don't know whether this is true or not. I hadn't had time to check it out yet. But we just come back from Florida, and the people down there, they were in the know, and they said, you know, we're going to get out of Florida as soon as this meeting's over. And then we got an email that said that the director of home security has told all the big grocery chains, as well as the big Walmarts and everything, in the whole Florida area to stock up with lots of canned foods, because they were under intimate danger of a nuclear attack. And water. So they said store up water and canned food. Because you know what's going to happen? If we have a little nuclear attack, you know, the thing about it, and I'm going to tell you, you can do what you want to, but I'm going to store up some extra food. You know, I'm going to go to Sam's or whatever tomorrow, or Walmart, or something, and I'm going to store up extra food. You know, because there may be, some of y'all might not do it, and some of you might need a can of beans. Well, I'm going to have them. I'm going to have them, you know. I might not be able to feed you, you know, with shrimp or steak, but a can of beans, if you're starving to death, would sure be better than nothing, right? Well, I'm going to go tomorrow, and I'm going to buy a whole bunch of food. And I'm going to take it out there in cans and keep it at the ministry center, and then I'm going to pray that nothing ever happens.
Amen.
If nothing don't happen, then we got food for a long time, praise God. But if it does happen, we're going to have food for a little while anyway. You know, and I got 2,500 gallons of water stored out there in a sealed tank. You know, so I got water. So we ain't going to be without water. You know, so the Lord's going to take care of us. Now, I want y'all to pray that the Lord will... I mean, that he will not let this judgment fall on America, which we are way past due. This nation is way past due. The church don't even serve God, much less the world. You know, it's wicked. Father, as we go to the throne of grace, we're grateful that your children today, washed in the blood of the Lamb, can come to the throne of grace anytime we need to in times of need for mercy. And Father, I thank you for this great and awesome privilege. And Lord, now as this whole group, as we come boldly into the throne of grace, know we can come right in and jump up on your throne, right into your lap, and sit down with you. And you're big enough to hold us all at the same time. Lord, we praise you and thank you for where you're taking us. We praise you and thank you, Lord, what you did starting in, well, at the beginning of my birth, I guess, but in 1977 when you spoke to me the first time, I had no idea what you had planned for me. And then as years go by, Lord, I just stand in awe of your mighty power as I've studied your word and you've revealed to me the truths of the word. And Lord, where you're taking us now, you're taking us to a new level of faith. All of us, not just me, but the entire body. And not only to just this body right here, but the body that is getting these thousands of CDs and DVDs that are going out every week. You're changing all of them. You're changing your church. This is about you, Lord. It's not about us. We're grateful to be a part of this great ministry that you have raised up. It's not one of us. It's all of us, Lord. And you're using all of us for your glory. As we go out, we're changed. And you change us more and more every week. And, Lord, as we go out, you're allowing us and moving on our hearts, just like you told me through your servant Tom, how he has started now for the first time in his life opening his work schedules with prayer every day. Amen. And the men in his office, they're praying together. And Lord, you're doing that everywhere, all over the place. You're changing men's and women's lives, Lord. And thank you, Father, for being there to forgive us of all of our sins. When we repent, Lord, we do repent, and we want to be about your business. We want to forget about the things of the past and everything that happened in the past, because you told us to forget those things that are in the past and press forward to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Lord, thank you for increasing all of our anointing as we continue forth. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for giving us the building or the buildings or whatever that you're going to give us, Lord, the land and everything where we can build a great and mighty complex that'll be used for your glory, that they'll take many people to run and operate this thing, and we'll be able to have great healing schools. We'll be able to bring multitudes of people in. If the devastation does come to America, there's going to be people that ain't never sought for God. They're going to be looking for him.
Amen.
And Lord, let us be there. Let us be there with our supply of food and stuff. And Lord, I know it won't be enough in the flesh to feed multitudes, but we know you can take even a little pantry that's only a 20 by 20 or whatever. If we could have that full of food, you can provide to feed the thousands out of that one little pantry. And Lord, let us do that. Let us see it like you saw it when you were here, when you took a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread and fed the multitudes with it, Lord. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we know if we'll serve you and be obedient, you'll do the same thing through us. Lord, let us go back. Let us get a can of meat or a can of vegetables or whatever and bring it out and open it up and feed the people. And we go back to get another one. And where there was only one, there's two sitting there. Lord, and continue to multiply that like that. Lord, I know that with you, nothing's hard as long as we're about your business. You promised us that if we'll walk in obedience to your word, we shall see the devastation with our eyes, but it shall not come near us. And Lord, we know that's true.
Yes.
We know you're going to use us. And then Lord, as you provide the building and the place and the men and the knowledge and the wisdom and everything to bring this where you want it.
Yes.
So, because we know this is all about you. This is not about us. We know that you're going to do great and mighty things. And Lord, I believe you're going to have to inflict something upon America to get her attention.
Yes.
I know that we got corruption in government. I mean, in the top government. We got corruption in the local government. We got corruption in homes. We got people, and just like Cheryl and I have been talking, Lord, life lived in terms of dying is much more dynamic. You know, when we don't know if we might have another breath left, it makes you want to love your mate, makes you want to love people, makes you want to be about your business and not hold a grudge against nobody for nothing. You just want to love them. Because you want to see you move. And we know you don't move except we walk in love. So, Father, we thank you for putting the love of God in our hearts so we can love the brethren. Now, Lord, I ask you to continue to bless this ministry as we go forth with multitudes of salvations and everything and healings and deliverance and the mighty miracles which was spoken a while ago. We'll see great and mighty miracles, bodies that have been all tore up, that be changed, and arms that have been broken or cut off, see them restored, and legs, and see you do these mighty things. That way the world will know that you're there. No man has that kind of power, and we're all smart enough to know that. And then, Lord, I want to thank you, and I want to thank you for blessing Fred and Kathy's business here over the years that we've been here, how it's been blessed. And Lord, as we leave, I ask you to continue to anoint both of them with the Holy Spirit and power and put peace and love between them and let them be blessed in their business, because they have certainly blessed us in this building since we've been here. And I want to thank you for them. I want to thank you for the privilege that the first day that I met Fred and then the day I met his lovely wife, Kathy, I love them and I know you love them. And Lord, I just thank you for moving on his heart to let us use this facility all this time. And I continue to bless them mightily as we go from this place. Lord, I praise you and thank you for all the people that are here in this room and all the multitudes that are across the world that you've delivered and healed and changed their lives forever. As Joseph said a while ago, and Lord, I have no idea what you're doing. I mean, I get praise reports. We talk to people. But Lord, I don't have a clue. It's not my ministry. It's yours. And Lord, I'm just grateful to be tugged onto the side of it somewhere and seeing you do the mighty things you do. And for all these people's lives you change, all these people in this room that's been healed or set free, I thank you for every one of them. And I know they thank you. And Lord, I know sometimes we forget to tell you how much we love you and praise you and thank you for what we have. But Lord, let us today hold our hands up to You and praise You and worship You and thank You for our healings, our deliverances, and that we have these wonderful, healthy bodies that we can walk in, we can talk in. Lord, we give You all the praise and glory. We thank You, Lord, that we're going to go out there and get in a car or pickup and we're going to go home. And that, Lord, that You've given those things to us. We're going to thank You. We're going to go somewhere where we get a home we can sit down to, or we can sit down to a meal this evening. And You've blessed us with that and everything, Lord. We praise You and thank You for everything. And, Lord, we know that in the future, those of us that are willing to love You and serve You, You're going to use us mightily as You bring whatever You bring upon this country to bring this country to the knowledge of God, Lord. And it may take a shaking. And if it does, that's okay. We're Your children. We can stand the shaking. You know, we're not going to get into fear or whatever. We just know that You're going to shake this place to bring people to Jesus. And, Lord, we're going to be here to lead them to Jesus. Just like Cheryl was with those two little girls, she led them two little girls to Jesus. And Lord, while she was over there leading that little girl to Jesus, I was leading the little boy to Jesus. And Lord, I want to thank You and praise You for all the souls that You save every day. But Lord, let us bring millions into Your kingdom. Not just two or three. Millions. We want to bring people into the kingdom of God. Then we want to teach them the principles of the kingdom so they'll walk in obedience to Your word, where they'll not go out and sin, but they'll walk holy in Your presence. And Father, I want to thank You and praise You for what You're doing and what You're going to do. And I give You all the praise and the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Thank You, Jesus. Now then, if you need to be prayed for, or if you ain't through praying,